Hi, this is John Edmiston, and we're in stage 8 of the spiritual continuum, the final session, Love in the Spirit. We have just learned that one of the main things that God teaches us is how to love one another. Love is the image of God because God is love. Love is at the heart of the two great commandments to love God and love our neighbor. Moreover, love is the proper goal of all Christian instruction, along with faith and hope and a good conscience. Now, the love mentioned in the New Testament is mainly a kind of love called agape love. Agape is a Greek word for spiritual sacrificial love that is without any trace of selfishness. Jesus dying for our sins on the cross demonstrates it in action. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this: not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Agape love is not sexual love or sentimental attachment or family loyalty or even good friendship love. God's love is the kind of love that we see in Jesus on the cross. And that kind of love is impossible for the natural man. It is impossible for the carnal Christian. It is completely impossible unless we are filled with the Spirit. Agape love is God's divine love in action. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus' new commandment was new because he was commanding a different kind of love than anyone had seen before. Jesus was commanding the disciples to his kind of love, agape love, spiritual love, love driven by the very divine love of God. This love was the same kind of love that Jesus had, and Christ's love was spiritual. That is, it came directly from the Holy Spirit. So the love of God became visible in Jesus, and the love of Christ was to be made visible by the disciples. That is also to be made visible by us. Love is the end of the spiritual journey. Love fulfills the law. If you are truly living in agape love, then you are perfected. God requires nothing more of you than agape love. Let's look at Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment, all are summed up by this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. If you are full of agape love, then you are a completely mature Christian who is in the image of God. You have made it, especially if you can love your enemies. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Agape love is not a feeling, and agape love is not an action you take or a decision that you make. Feelings, actions, and decisions are involved. Agape love is the spiritual love of God entering into your soul and flowing out of you like rivers of living water to a needy world. It is high, hard, and difficult. Agape love crucifies the flesh and is the characteristic sign of a true Christian. You can obey the kind of love preached in most sermons by just being a good, nice person. You do not need to be born again, and you certainly do not need to be worshipping in the Spirit. You just go and mow the lawn of the little old lady next door and tick it off on your list of good deeds for the day. that is a totally inadequate understanding of agape love. A full life of agape love, the Jesus kind of love, is only possible when you are submitted to God as a new creation, are filled with the Spirit, are being led by the Spirit, and are being taught by the Spirit how to love others. It comes from the living water within you. Colossians chapter 1, verses 7 to 12. You learned this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow slave. He is a faithful servant of Christ on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. It is a bit difficult to see at first, but as soon as Paul hears that the Colossians were full of love in the Spirit, he starts rejoicing and praying for them because they had been enabled by God to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. Love in the Spirit takes us into the realm of spiritual inheritance and into the light. Until we engage in agape love, there is still some darkness left in us, some selfishness, some nasty ego, some covetousness. However, once the living waters flow, this gets washed away. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God is love, 1 John 4, verse 8. And so the Holy Spirit is love and pours out the agape love of God into our hearts. Love is not from the flesh. Love is not from the ego. Love is from God, and he imparts it to us through the Holy Spirit, which is a spirit of power, love, and sound judgment. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. The Apostle John explains in detail about how love is from God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. It's a long passage. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is perfected in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us assurance from his Spirit. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Saviour. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. For we are as he is in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother he has seen cannot love the God he has not seen. And we have this command from him: the one who loves God must also love his neighbor. There is so much in this passage. It is so radical, so deep, and so profound. The apostle explains to us that true agape spiritual love is God's initiative. We love because God loves us. We can only love with God's perfect love if we are in relationship with God. God is love, God sends love, God demonstrates love, and God's love casts out all fear. God's love is a soul-changing force for good that makes the impossible for us to hate our brother. If God's love is in us, we cannot hate. If we do hate our brother, then God's agape love is absent from us. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother remains in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, walks in the darkness and doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. If you have agape love for your brother, then you are in the light and have a spiritual inheritance. However, if you hate your brother, you are in the darkness and probably unaware of it, and you have stumbled in the race and have no inheritance in God at all. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in love, and the fruit of the Spirit is spiritual love, and without agape love, we are nothing. You can see that in Galatians 5, 16 to 23, and 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 4. Agape love is way more than social politeness or the occasional good deed. Agape love is the quality of your inner being when you are flooded and overwhelmed by the divine love of God, and it just flows on out of you. This is why you have to be worshipping in the Spirit. This is why your mind has to be set on the things of the Spirit. This is why you need to be filled with the Spirit and the Word. Only when you do these things will the world and the flesh and all the fear fade away for long enough to let the agape love of God be unleashed in you. You have to set the spiritual target of living in agape love and letting God love others through you. Otherwise, you can get stuck. You settle for less. You make Bible knowledge or conversions or the size of your church, your position in ministry as your spiritual targets. And these ambitions just lead to arguments and egotism. Even if you are successful in ministry, but are paranoid and jealous, then you are still in the darkness and not in the light. Every single Christian is aware that they should be living in love. However, very few make it their life ambition and central purpose in life to live in love. The flesh, its lusts and its ambitions trip us up every time. We need all the other disciplines of the Spirit, such as being filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, if we are to consistently live in the love of the Spirit, which is why it is at the top of the tree and the final end of the spiritual continuum. We see this in Paul's spectacular prayer for the Ephesians, Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. As we come to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, we are filled up with all the fullness of God. Being filled with the fullness of God is obviously the end of the continuum. So, then, how do we achieve this? Firstly, we need to pray as Paul prayed. We need to desire the love of Christ with our whole being. We need to truly believe that without agape love, we are never going to be a full and fulfilled human being. We need to put loving other people as a higher priority than our career and up there with having food and shelter. We can only do this if we are Spirit-filled. Next, we need to start actually loving people. We need to try to be kind and loving at every turn. We need to create opportunities for Jesus in us to show up. A good way to do this is to study the one another commands in the New Testament, such as love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, and be kindly affectionate to one another. See the appendix in the Spiritual Continuum Manual for the 36 one another commands in the New Testament. Colossians has a wonderful paragraph on how to be a loving Christian. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. This may occasion a certain amount of material sacrifice. 1 John 3, 16-18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Thirdly, we need to trust God to show up. The word for that is faith. You need to have the faith that as you put agape love into action, God will show up and meet your needs and even bless you. And that's the last study in the spiritual continuum. Go over it, think about it. The Lord bless you in your walk with him. This is Judd Edmiston signing out.